Abad bhayam dravina deha surin nimittam. Shokas priha paribhavo vipulas chalobha. Avan mametya sadavagraha arti mulam. Yavan na tengrima bhayam pravrinita lokaha. O my Lord, the people of the world are embarrassed by all material anxieties. They are always afraid. They always try to protect wealth, body, and friends. They are filled with lamentation and unlawful desires and paraphernalia. And they avariciously base their undertakings on the perishable conceptions of my and mine. As long as they do not take shelter of your safe lotus feet, they are full of such anxieties. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One may ask the question, how one can always think of the Lord in regard to His name, fame, quality, etc., if one is embarrassed by thoughts of family affairs? Everyone in the material world is full of thoughts about how to maintain his family, how to protect his wealth, how to keep pace with friends and relatives, etc. Thus, he is always in fear and lamentation, trying to keep up with the status quo. In answer to this question, this verse spoken by Lord Brahma is very appropriate. A pure devotee of the Lord never thinks of himself as the proprietor of his home. He surrenders everything unto the supreme control of the Lord, and thus he has no fear for maintaining his family or protecting the interests of his family. Because of this surrender, he no longer has any attraction for wealth. Even if there is attraction for wealth, it is not for sense enjoyment, but for the service of the Lord. A pure devotee may be attracted to accumulating wealth just like an ordinary man, but the difference is that a devotee acquires money for the service of the Lord, whereas the ordinary man acquires money for his sense enjoyment. Thus, the acquisition of wealth by a devotee is not a source of anxieties, as it is the case for a worldly man. And because a pure devotee accepts everything in the sense of serving the Lord, the poisonous teeth of accumulation of wealth are extracted. If a snake has its poison removed and bites a man, there is no fatal effect. Similarly, wealth accumulated in the cause of the Lord has no poisonous teeth, and the effect is not fatal. A pure devotee is never entangled in material worldly affairs, even though he may remain in the world like an ordinary We are reading the prayers of Lord Rama to the Supreme Personality of Godhead at the dawn of the creation. Lord Brahma is truly an authority of this world. It was Brahma who was personally empowered by the Supreme Lord Vishnu to create the various manifestations within this universe. It has been described herein how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by his unlimited, inconceivable powers, created all of the various elements of material creation. The origin of all these elements came from his creation of the false ego. The false ego is that misconception that we think that we are this body, and we think that those things in relationship to this body are mine to enjoy. When we consider ourselves to be the proprietor of anything or the enjoyer of anything, then we are in material consciousness. And thus we are subjected to all of the effects of being within this material consciousness. Lord Brahma took these various elements created by the Lord and was empowered to create various manifestations. Therefore, Brahma is the great, great, great grandfather of all living entities, not only human beings, but all species of life. He knows exactly how this material work, material nature works. If you want to understand how your automobile works, if you go to the manufacturer, they will tell you exactly. Brahma is the manufacturer of the universe. And herein, he is describing what is the condition of living in this world. People who are attached to the misconceptions that I am this body and all things in relation to the body are mine to enjoy, they are embarrassed by endless anxieties. How is it that they are embarrassed? From the spiritual sense, the spirit soul is eternal, full of knowledge, and full of joy. The spirit soul is part of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, the spirit soul naturally has, as his own spiritual heritage, all of the paraphernalia of Krishna to share with the Lord in transcendental pastimes. Krishna, in the spiritual world, he is not considering himself the proprietor, in the sense that Krishna wants to share the joy of his world with all of his children. But we have rejected that transcendental state of existence, and we are here in this world where, although our body spiritually is unlimited, it is eternal, it is full of bliss, we're living in a body that's growing old. And even when we're young, there are so many limitations and so many problems. Just last week we opened Bhaktivedanta Hospital. There are so many hospitals. There's never enough hospitals because people's bodies are always giving them terrible, terrible suffering. Our Madhavananda Prabhu, he is a pediatrician. Pediatrician means that he treats little children And his office is always filled with little children. So this means that you don't only suffer from the body when you are old. You suffer from the time you're born. Have you ever seen a little baby? Did you hear that baby? It's not crying out of... This is not a cry of ecstatic joy. This is a cry of suffering, misery. We don't even know why it's suffering, but somehow or other it's suffering. Very good preacher. Brahma has created in such a way that it's so obvious, but we're not able to understand. When a child is born, what is the first thing that child does, whether it's a boy or a girl? It starts to cry. It doesn't come out and smile and start laughing. Has anyone seen a child come out of the womb of the mother and first thing they do is they start laughing and smiling? Lord Chaitanya did that. Krishna did that. They were not taking birth like us. The first thing each and every one of us did when we came out into this world is we started to cry. This is because the basic principle of material existence is anxiety. And people are spending their whole lives trying to somehow or other relieve their hearts of these anxieties. The body is subjected to the threefold miseries. But even worse than that is the mind. The soul is seeking unlimited happiness of the pleasure of loving Krishna. But it's trying to enjoy through this body and mind. And the mind is a reservoir of frustrations. Even if physically everything you ever wanted you achieve, still your mind will be frustrated. There's always something we do not have that we want. There's always something that we want to keep that we're fearful of losing. This is how material creation has been constructed. We hanker for what we do not have. We lament for what we lose. And even if we had everything we ever wanted, we're always in fear that something or someone will take it away. And even if you are such a great king with such a great fortress, still you're always fearing that someone is trying to take it away from you. Recently, I was in Russia, and a very dear devotee, Vaidyanath Prabhu, who more or less oversees the affairs of preaching in Russia, he was telling me about one of the previous leaders of Russia. His name was Mr. Stalin. And his policy was, he would build up a whole ministry of people who were his very close associates, helping him to conquer, subdue, and manage the state of affairs of this, the largest country by far in all the world. And he was so powerful that all the people of the nation, practically, they worshipped him. He had so much wealth. He had so much of everything. But yes, his closest associates, he would on a regular basis murder them all.
Hare Krishna.
Because he was so fearful that these men are my very close companions, they are running the state with me, any one of them, at any time, because they're becoming powerful in my association, may try to take away what I have. He would have like a rotating system. He would bring them in, he would train them up, they would do such incredible services for him, they would risk their life for him, they would give all of their energy and all of their life force just to somehow or other make him happy, but he feared. And therefore, he would one by one, sometimes he would do it all together, he would murder them. Now, who would want to be a part of his cabinet if you knew for sure you're going to get murdered in due course of time? But yet he always had people anxious to do it. Because everyone was thinking, he won't murder me. He likes me so much. He trusts me so much. Fear. And Indra, he's the king of heaven, and he's a very pious person. He's actually a devotee of the Lord. But because he has so much wealth, and he has so many beautiful ladies always serving him with so much affection, and so much power and prestige, Indra is always fearful. He's not satisfied. He's fearful of anybody who somehow or other has any degree of power. This is the nature of the material world. The more you have, the more you fear. And fear is a miserable condition. In this age of Kali today, people fear even their own sons and daughters and mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters when they become too wealthy. And they have good right to fear, because usually everyone is trying to take from everyone else at any cost. Indra, when he was even fearful not only of great sages and rishis, not only fearful of the demons, he was even fearful of Krishna. His best well-wishing friend and master. When Bali Maharaj, who was a great demon, was gaining power, and he marched into Indra's abode, Indra ran away in fear. When Vishvamitra Muni was performing tapasya, Indra was thinking, he must want my kingdom and my wife. Otherwise, why would he be performing these tapasyas? And he became so fearful. He sent so many of his representatives to somehow bewilder his mind. And when the Supreme Lord, Nara Narayan Rishi, was performing tapasya in Badrik Ashram, Indra was thinking that even though he's Lord, still he must be doing this tapasya because he wants to take my post. Therefore, I must destroy this person. So he sent Cupid. Whether you know it or not, you all know Cupid. In fact, the next Friday after this Friday, our children are performing their monthly program, and one of the children was going to play Cupid. So Braja Kumari, who's one of the coordinators of this program, Gopi Priya, They asked, "Is it all right for a child to play Cupid, or is it too controversial?"
Hare Krishna.
I replied that it is all right if they play Cupid, but they should not shoot any of his arrows in the devotees in the audience. Indra sent Kamdev, Cupid, and saw Nara Narayan Rishi performing tapasya, and started making all beautiful, wonderful arrangements. Nice spring season with pleasant, fragrant breezes, and beautiful, beautiful heavenly ladies dancing and singing. He was just shooting all his arrows at Nara Narayan. And Nara Narayan Rishi looked at Cupid. "What is this nonsense you're doing? You think I'm attracted to this?" And then from his body, a woman far more beautiful than any of the ones that were sent by heaven, Urvasi, was created. He was completely undisturbed. And when Cupid saw this, he became very fearful of his life. That this personality is so powerful, so self-satisfied. Everyone fears me, but now I am fearful. Narayan Rishi said, "Do not fear, because neither am I full of passion for what you have, nor am I angry with you for what you have done." Kama and Krodha are so intimately connected to each other. Srila Prabhupada explains, because of the dissatisfaction of the heart, we long to achieve so many objects of our lustful desires. And when they are not fulfilled, or when anyone or anything interferes with the fulfillment of those desires, we become angry. And in that anger, we make so many offenses to others. And then we have to suffer terribly as a reaction. So Nara Narayan Rishi was so transcendental, neither was he subject to lust or anger. And he told Cupid that you go back and you tell that foolish Indra that I don't care anything for his useless kingdom. I am self-satisfied. In fact, you can take Urvasi and offer it as a donation to me. It is my donation to him. When Indra heard about this, he became very, very afraid, but very happy to have Urvasi. She became the best. He couldn't live without seeing her every day. He couldn't live in peace. So this is the condition. We are thinking, the more I acquire, the more I will become happy. But it's just the opposite. The more you acquire, the more you become fearful and frustrated. Not only are you fearful that something or someone will take it away, but you're always in fear of how to maintain it. The more you have, the more you need to maintain what you have, and therefore the more you have to work. It's not that when you become very rich, you just sit down and say, "Oh, now I can just chant Hare Krishna." When you become rich, then you have so many problems of how to sustain what you have. Very difficult. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada gave us a life of simple living and high thinking. Simple living means we do not require much. We do not require to bind our lives with the chains and the ropes of material anxieties. Now, you are probably thinking that I am the exception. If I just had more, I would be happy. How many are thinking like this?
Hare Krishna.
If I was just more popular, if I was just more beautiful, if I just had more money, if I just had a nicer house or a better running car, if I just had more influence and power over others' lives, my husband or my wife or my friends or the people in my ashram, then I'll be happy, of course. But Lord Brahma, who has created you and has created all the paraphernalia that you're trying to achieve in life, he is authoritatively giving his opinion. You'll never be happy. You'll simply be in anxiety, and you'll be filled with lamentation because you are avariciously basing your undertakings on the perishable conceptions of my and mine. This is an unrefutable, unchallenged fact of the world. But still, we are striving for some material solutions, thinking that I will be happy. Here in Mumbai, everywhere you go in the streets, you see those big, big billboards or hoardings for cinemas or movies. So graphic. Hare Krishna. There's always some beautiful woman with hardly any clothing and some handsome man without hardly any clothing. And they're always either embracing or shooting each other or stabbing each other. There's always blood on everybody. There's knives and daggers and guns and snakes and so many things. And when people see these hoardings, they, oh, I have to see that movie. Such beautiful women and so much violence. But actually, we should understand that we are being indoctrinated through Maya's forces to think we will be happy by some material arrangement. My observation of marriage. At the beginning, there is often a very romantic appearance in people's hearts. People are looking in each other's lotus eyes. And they feel, this is what I always long for in life. This is the fulfillment of all my desires. This is Krishna's unlimited supreme mercy upon me. This is heaven on earth, to hear your voice, to see you, to be with you. And there's a great, great emotion of the mind, of attraction and desire and satisfaction. But then what happens is we realize that this person is not Krishna. So this person cannot actually satisfy me. It's simply impossible. So in the Western world, at a certain point, they start arguing. They start disagreeing. They come to a realization they never had before, that they have different false egos. Previously, they were in the oneness of amorous attraction. But as that starts going a little down, then all that's left is these false egos.
And I have to live with you? You have to live with me? How is this possible?
In the Western world, 70% of all marriages are divorced within 3 years as a federal statistic. So much for romance. And in India, and amongst the more pious people of the West, they don't divorce. They tolerate somehow or other. For the sake of the children, for the sake of morality, I will tolerate you somehow or other. Hare Krishna. And in that toleration, there's so much anxiety, so much lamentation, so much frustration. And then you have a little child. And the child, oh, this is just the child I prayed for. Then he or she starts passing stool and urine all over you. Starts keeping you up all night crying and getting sick. Then they get a little older. And they start going to school. And then you have to work so hard to get money to sustain them. And then they start doing terrible in their grades. And then it's an embarrassment to your whole family and your relatives and your society. And then you're always fearful that they will be hurt. You see them on the street, oh, a car might hit you. Or you see them playing with balls, the ball might hit him. It's always frustration and anxiety. Then they get a little older. And the most terrible thing in all creation takes place. They have different ideas than you. Crushing blow to the ego of a parent. My child, if you're a devotee, your child wants to experiment by being a materialistic person. So much frustration and anxiety. What will he do? He's being captured by Maya. She may get pregnant and she may get addicted to drugs and she may be killed. And if you're a materialistic person, your child may become a devotee. Worse than death. What will my relatives and friends and everyone else think if they see my son wearing dhoti or sari, chanting Hare Krishna? This is terrible. He will not take over my business. He may join the ashram. He may be a sannyasi. Terrible anxiety, misery. So no matter what you do in this world, all your hopes for happiness will be frustrated. And even if somehow or other, by the inconceivable arrangement of providence, your wife is chaste, your husband is protective, your children are so nice and cooperative, still, the mind will always be searching for some reason to be miserable. That's the nature of the mind. Did you know that? No matter what you do, your mind will always be scanning material existence to find some way to be miserable and frustrated and unsatisfied. Hare Krishna. How many of you have this experience in life? If you're not raising your hands, it means you are in illusion. Because Lord Brahma is personally telling us that this is the way he created this world. And if you're in this world, this is what you have to suffer. But Brahma is so mercifully giving us the answer to this very, very complex problem. And that is, as long as they do not take shelter of your safe lotus feet, they are full of such anxieties. The only safe place in this world where we can find real pleasure is in the lotus feet of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains that lotus feet represents service. When we approach the lotus feet of the Lord, or the lotus feet of Guru Maharaj, or the Vaishnavas, it means we are approaching in the mood of a servant. The only safe place where there is real happiness is in devotional service. Because in that devotional service, gradually Krishna reveals himself to us. Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, he understood this principle. Raghunath Das was the son of Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar. They were so wealthy. Srila Prabhupada describes, by today's calculations, they were multi-billionaires.
Hare Krishna.
They had so much land that they owned, and such big, beautiful houses, and they had so much influence and popularity, and they were devotees too. They were always giving so much charity to the Vaishnavas. They were practically supporting the Vaishnavas as a society. So do you think they were happy? A parent, no matter how much wealth, how much influence, cannot be happy unless they have a child to give it all to. Because after all, everyone knows that death is going to come. We don't believe it's going to happen soon, but we're all thinking, we know it will come. So we're working so hard and we're accumulating so much. And everyone knows the father lives through the son. So before I die, I will give everything to my son and then I will continue to enjoy it through him.
Hare Krishna.
This is the consciousness of fathers. So by the blessings of the Lord, they had a wonderful son, and they named him Raghunath. And this Raghunath Das, he was such a first-class person. He was so beautiful. He had all the symptoms of a Mahapurusha. And he was so intelligent and so humble and cooperative. His parents felt, not only do we have all this wealth and all good health and so much popularity, but now we have the best of all sons. But there was something that happened that they did not expect. The son met Srila Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was not living in big palace like Hiranya and Govardhan. He was living in a cave. He was so happy in his cave, because he was always chanting the holy names of Krishna very loud. People used to go
to Haridas Thakur's cave
just to get blessings from him. And at one time in that cave, there was this smell that was so unbearable. It was literally burning people's bodies and burning people's lungs. And people, it was intolerable for them to stay in the cave with Haridas Thakur, even for a few minutes. So they asked someone, and they explained that there was a very, very deadly, poisonous snake living in that cave. And this snake is full of so much poison that just by his breathing, the whole air becomes so polluted that nobody could be near him. So these associates of Haridas, they came to him and said, Haridas, we cannot sit with you anymore because of this poisonous snake. So Haridas Thakur, he said, oh, this cave, it is not my cave. If there is some inconvenience to you, then I will leave. But I didn't even notice that there was any bad smelling fragrances here. He was perfectly content living with the snake in the cave. But as soon as the snake heard that Haridas may leave, out of respect, everyone saw the snake coming out. The big, big, multicolored snake. And he left the cave never to return. So this is how Haridas Thakur was living, in caves with serpents. And Raghunath Das Goswami was living in the most palatial palace with so many wonderful, wonderful servants. His parents gave him a beautiful wife who was like an angel. And they were promising him, everything we have is yours. But after meeting Thakur Haridas and hearing the chanting of the holy names, he was completely detached. He just wanted to chant. And then when he met Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his only ambition was to take shelter of his lotus feet. He had no concern for any of these things. And even though his parents tried to somehow or other stop him by tempting him, by seducing him with all kinds of luxuries in life, by threatening him, by practically imprisoning him, by surrounding him with guards, he escaped. And he went to Jagannath Puri. After he left home, he was walking through the jungles for 12 days. He only got something to eat 3 days. And when he arrived in Puri, and he met with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya was so happy to see him. He said, I know your father. And I know your uncle. Therefore, I will speak honestly, but affectionately about them. Your father and uncle, they are like two worms living in a deep, dark ditch where people pass stool.
Hare Krishna.
Now, the nature of a worm is very attached to stool. And you may think that stool is an abominable place, and you may take the worm out of the stool, out of compassion. But what will the worm do? He will crawl right back into the stool. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, material attachments are like being attached to stool. And people who are too much attached to the pleasures of society, friendship, love, and family, and all these things, they are like worms in stool. But somehow or other, it is only by the mercy of Krishna that one can be delivered from that miserable condition of life. Given you special mercy. Raghunath Das Goswami replied, I do not know what is Krishna, but I know that your mercy has saved me, and I have achieved the safe shelter of your lotus feet. So we find that many, many great people have achieved the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Some like Raghunath Das Goswami, after giving up all of the palatable foods and beautiful garments and luxurious living conditions, he would only eat one little palmful of buttermilk a day. Other times he was going to the garbage heap where the cows would eat. When you go to Jagannath Puri, you will see that garbage heap. Whenever I go there, we always stand next to it for substantial time just to get some realization of how Raghunath Das Goswami was feasting every day. Jagannath's prasad is generally given to these prasadam booths, where it is either given away to pilgrims or sold. And that which is somehow or other left over and becomes too spoiled and decomposed to sell, they throw it in the garbage heap. And then there's cows called talinga cows. And they go and they eat that rice. And the rice that is so decomposed that they spit it out, that's what's left there at night. Raghunath Das Goswami would go at night and he would collect what the cows spit out because it was not fit for an animal. And he would wash it off very carefully and take the inner portion of it and he would eat it. Hare Krishna. And he would only wear the clothes that people would throw out because it was useless. And he would sleep under different trees every night, on the hard ground. One time Lord Chaitanya found out what Raghunath was eating. So Lord Chaitanya, he came to Raghunath Das Goswami's home just at the time when he was about to take his prasad. And he had it in his hand. And when Lord Chaitanya came in, he hid it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Raghunath Das Goswami, what is it that you are eating? I heard you are having a very delicious feast every day. And Raghunath Das Goswami said, no, that is not correct, my lord. And Lord Chaitanya said, please give me some. And then Lord Chaitanya, who was the Paramatma in everyone's heart, who knows everything, knew exactly where that prasad was, and he snatched it from the hand of Raghunath and began to eat it. Raghunath was, what are you doing, my lord? How can you eat this? And Swarup Damodar Goswami took it and said, my lord, this is not fit for you. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. He said, I have tasted the most wonderful sweets and sabjis and grains offered to Lord Jagannath, but never in my whole life have I ever tasted anything so delicious is what Raghunath Das Goswami is eating every day. Lord Chaitanya was tasting the sweetness of his detachment. Chakvaturanmashesha Mandalapati. Srinivasacharya has prayed. Even though they gave up so much to Goswamis, they were living so simple, but yet they were always filled in the highest ecstasy of spiritual happiness, weeping in joy in the mood of the gopis' love for Krishna. That is the real object that we should be striving to achieve, not the sources of anxiety of this world. However, we also find there are great souls like Pratap Rudra Maharaj, Yudhisthira Maharaj, who actually had great wealth, and the Lord never encouraged them to give it up. They used it in Krishna's service, and they experienced the same type of ecstasy as Raghunath Das Goswami. King Pratap Rudra, when he understood that being a king was standing between him and the mercy of the Lord, he was willing to give it up immediately, without thought. What is the use? If my palace and my family and my home and everything I have, my power, my reputation, if it is standing between me and receiving the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then I will give it up today and become a beggar. But the devotees understood that he was using everything in Krishna's service. There was no reason for him to give it up. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself made so many transcendental intimate arrangements just to keep Maharaj Pratap Rudra as the king. And eventually Lord Chaitanya, he embraced him again and again and again, and showered his most confidential mercy upon him. And Maharaj Pratap Rudra, what did he do with his wealth? He didn't use it for his own personal enjoyment. He used everything for the service of Lord Jagannath and the service of the Vaishnavas, and for the welfare and upliftment of all the souls of his kingdom. He lived in luxury only so that he can be a proper servant of the Lord in that position. And Lord Brahma himself, who was speaking these wonderful verses, he did not renounce his position of Brahma. Can you imagine what Brahma Loka is? Hare Krishna. We cannot even imagine what is Indra Loka. Brahma Loka is the topmost opulent place in all of the universe. And even the greatest demons cannot approach Brahma to take away his kingdom. He is so powerful. Brahma does not give up his position. He does not give up his family. But he does everything for the service of Krishna. He understands fully that it is only the shelter of Krishna that will give us any real purpose or happiness in life. And this must be our conviction. Whatever our particular status or situation may be, we should never be deluded by Maya to think anything but the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet will give me any real meaning or happiness in life. This must be the principle we live by. And therefore we should have this integrity. Srila Prabhupada, when he was asked, "How do I know who is your devotee?" Srila Prabhupada said, "You will know my devotee because they are perfect gentlemen or perfect ladies." How is that? When you are living for the purpose of service, when you are purifying your heart and seeking the fulfillment of chanting Krishna's holy name, hearing Krishna's glories, then naturally you become honest. You become free of greed. And even if those things are there in your heart, you somehow or other subdue them in the association of devotees and good sadhana. Lord Brahma is revealing in this one verse everything required to be known to achieve the perfection of life. There are two principles that we must be convinced of, that material life is miserable. It is a place of death. And the happiness of life has been created by the Lord only to increase your suffering. Hare Krishna. We should identify it as such. The more you're happy in the material world, the more you become attached to that happiness, and to the degree you find happiness in the material world, the degree you suffer when everything changes. So the happiness is only to serve the purpose of making you suffer more. Hari-ho! That's reality. According to Brahma. So we must be convinced that this is not our real home. That we'll take material resources and use them in Krishna's services, but if we try to use them for our own selfish enjoyment, we will suffer. And the next thing we must understand is where real happiness is. In serving Krishna. In loving Krishna. Inner happiness, transcendental to all the changes of this world. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu have descended into this world to give this happiness free to everyone. The shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna is attainable by all of us through the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has so mercifully delivered this message to us. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. If we believe this statement, we will go back home, back to God. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
Not much for Grastha. If he is away from Krishna consciousness atmosphere, it is very painful. And we know that we have to surrender to Lord Krishna. But two things become the obstacle. One is we are lacking faith that Krishna is supreme. And we sometimes lack in faith. And we forget. So in the different situation we go, and we find that we are able to manage it. And then we forget Krishna. And then again, the mind game makes us, is a really torturous for us. So how to build up that faith and remember Krishna?
Did everyone hear his question? His question is that as Grihastha, due to lack of faith, oftentimes we become distracted from remembering Krishna by our material affairs. That is your question? We know in Bombay that the rainy season will come, monsoons. It is inevitable. It is not maybe the rains will come. They will come, and they will come torrentially. So we fix our roof nicely
before the rains come.
And you sustain it nicely as the rains are coming. Then you do not have to suffer from the rains. Similarly, we know that Maya, material energy, in so many ways, through so many forms, will try to distract our consciousness from Krishna. That is a fact. Therefore, we must prepare ourselves so that when that happens, we are protected. And the way we do that is by keeping good association of sincere devotees as much as possible, and keeping very strong and sincere sadhana. We should read Srila Prabhupada's books or attend the classes every day. And we should chant the holy names attentively according to our vow every day. If we're living in the temple, we should come to the morning program every day. Srila Prabhupada explains that of all the instructions in all of his books, chanting of 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the most important. Srila Prabhupada says, anyone, if they are not chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day, at any moment they will become a victim of Maya. So if we faithfully do our sadhana, and we do not offend devotees, but we serve devotees with affection, then Krishna will always protect us from forgetting him. And even if somehow or other you do, because Krishna sees you are sincere, he will quickly pick you up. We are depending on Krishna's mercy. Srila Prabhupada has so kindly taught us how to receive Krishna's mercy. It is very simple. Any other questions? Yes. Please speak loudly so everyone can hear. Anxiety is in sannyas life, brahmachari life, grihastha life, vanaprastha life. Anxiety is in Brahman life, kshatriya life, vaishya life, shudra life. Anxiety is in atheist life, theist life. Anxiety is in the elephant's life, the dog's life, the insect's life, the fish's life, the bird's life. Anxiety is everywhere. The only place there's no anxiety is the lotus feet of Krishna. If we place our consciousness at the lotus feet of Krishna, we don't have to experience anxiety. And how to do that? By loudly chanting the holy name. Continue, please.
What I'm going to ask Maharaj is, he always got that way that once the Maharaj survived, he arranged the deal in such a way that the Maharaj is also intact, at the same time the responsibility is also intact. You do your justice properly. And as soon as the body is becoming older and older, it starts creating problems. So a very sincere and systematic rasta, what he thinks is that if I earn a little bit more right now, mind when the body starts getting creating a problem, at that time I will not compromise my sadhana and I am little bit able to compromise my material earning. So he tries to work somewhat little bit more so that in future his sadhana is intact. But now the problem is once you start spending more time in your material life, it creates more problems.
Speak in microphone. This is a very entertaining question.
But then, the problem in the grihastha life is, as we have to always been said by our spiritual master as well as in Bhagavad Gita, it's very clear enough that a grihastha has to arrange his schedule in such a way that his sadhana is also that doesn't get disturbed. At the same time, his responsibility is also not been disturbed in proper. He has to do it arranged in such a way. So always a person who is in grihastha life, he arranges his day in such a way that both the things goes together, a balanced life. But always he has a fear that the body is going to get old day by day and it starts creating problems also. So he thinks it on that way that I will plan my life in such a way that in due course of time, once my body starts giving me problem at that time, my sadhana doesn't get compromised at that time. I little bit compromise my material earning or material profession so that my spiritual life has been peaceful. I'll not be so much attacked by Maya during that time. So he starts to earn more at that time, so that in future he will be peaceful in that way. But by spending more time into material life, again the problem is that your balance is somewhat unequal. So it creates a such a juncture that what to do? The body is also going to create a problem in future, plus your expenses are also going to increase in due course of time. So it becomes, so how to get out from that?
Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Did everyone understand his question? Yes? For those of you who are new, I would like you to introduce you to Ananda Vrindavan Prabhu. And he very masterfully asks the same question in so many varieties of ways, in so many different times and places. It is true that you will get old. Hare Krishna. However, although we must make a proper balance, we have to keep in mind that death can come at any moment. We should not compromise what is most sacred in our life for the future, because we do not know whether that future will ever come in this life. We were speaking last night we feel sadness by this story, but at the same time we should understand the lesson that is being revealed to us. At one medical college where our devotees give lectures, one person, a student, was coming to the lectures for some time, was quite favorable, but thought that I really shouldn't get too involved in this Krishna consciousness because I really have to become the best student that I could be. Maybe after, but now let me not get any distraction. Let me just study with all my energy. So this person studied. Great concentration. And this person won the award of the highest student in the whole college. He got such distinction in his marks. And it was a very difficult subject, I believe, surgery. He was the top student. He earned awards. This just happened a few days ago. So Gauranga Prabhu happened to be giving a lecture there at JJ College. And one of the students who is chanting 16 rounds and very, very committed to Krishna consciousness was brought by this other person before he diverted from Krishna consciousness into his studies. So a few days ago, just last week, this devotee approached his friend and said, please come to the lecture in Kirtan tonight. And this student said that, actually, I'm considering going, but there's a party tonight where all the students who graduated are celebrating. Not graduated, but it's a party in honor of the good students. He said, I can't resist going to this party tonight. So what do they do at parties? They play all materialistic music, and they dance, and they eat all kinds of foods. So he was there, and he was the center of attraction for everyone because he was the best student. So they were playing all this disco-type music, and he was dancing. And right in front of everyone, he was 23 years old. Right on the dance floor, he had a heart attack and died. Hare Krishna. This is not something that we are making up. It is reality. It happened a couple days ago. 23 years old, perfect health, no problem. He was dancing, heart attack, death. People were shocked. If only he would have come to the kirtan that night. Krishna gave him the chance, but somehow or other, not the right choice. So in our student life, or in our grihastha life, or in our brahmachari life, whatever, we may have so many ideas of how we have to do something to protect ourselves for the future. But the best thing that you can do to help yourself for the future is to become Krishna conscious now, not to make more money. And you may compromise your Krishna consciousness to get a little more money for the future, but you may not live till tomorrow. Whatever your age may be. So yes, a grihastha has to create a balance. We have to maintain our responsibilities. We have to sustain our family nicely. We may have to have some savings for the future. Those things should be done responsibly, with great care and attention. However, at no cost should we compromise the basic principles of sadhana. And to be able to do both is the sign of real intelligence and sincerity. Does that answer your question? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hari Bol.